for the Lord to bless us here today. I would like that at the end of this message today, that anyone that's not saved in here, take some time and give the Lord your heart.
Yes, amen.
I was thinking of, there is a cure, I think, for many of the failures that people have seen in their Christian experience. God has a cure for that. There is a cure for the complaints that some of us may have from time to time of how we feel that maybe the Lord is kind of shortchanged us or some such thing. But God has a cure for that.
Yes.
I was thinking about how that the Lord has blessed me and my life. I'm a witness to that. And I was thinking, whatever could have caused this? And I know I don't have all the answers. I know I don't. And because it seems like there's some things that the Lord just, He allows to come in our life and He blesses us. And we don't really know all the causes and reasons for all of these things. But God does some things for us. And I was thinking back about when I started to live for the Lord. One of the things that I was, when I started off to live for the Lord with, one of the things that I had was I wanted to live for God. There was no two ways, no doubts about it. I was not satisfied with, seemed like the way things were going in my life, and I wanted something really different, Lord. And so when I turned to the Lord, that was my concentration. That was where my mind was. And I knew that He's the one that could help me out. I was firmly convinced that He was the only one. And living for the Lord was the only solution for the problems that I had, for the needs that I had. He was the only one. Seemed like we have a need for love. And I became firmly convinced that He was the only one that could really hit that spot down inside. So we want to turn here this morning to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse. We'll start off here. There was a man that came to Jesus here and asked Him some questions. And he was just kind of, I don't know, as we say, just messing around maybe. But Jesus answered him straight. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
Amen.
You should love God with all of your heart, all your soul, and with all of your mind. Everything you've got. God should be the highest priority in your life.
Amen.
Place Him there. That is something that it takes some effort, maybe on our part, but we are capable of putting God first. Just as well as we are capable of allowing things to get into our lives and then take up a lot of time and make a lot of inroads into our lives, we can place God first, just like we place those other things in our lives. And those things come in between us and God. And you know, people are doing this, seem like, just daily. Letting all kinds of things come in between you and God. And then are dissatisfied with what it seems like your life, how your life is progressing and what's going on. But you are the one that's allowing things to come in. God is a God that's a jealous God. He wants everything you got. He doesn't want to be put in a second tier position in your life. He doesn't want you to be one that says, "Well, Lord, you represent the fallback position." People are putting God in the fallback position. If this doesn't work out, then I got a fallback. You don't have any fallback. If you don't put God first, you'll find that He is not there when you need Him. He is not there in the times of emptiness and loneliness. Those times when you are perplexed and worried and concerned about things and searching around for answers, but nothing's there. Just emptiness. It's because you're not putting Him first. Put Him first. Put Him in that place where He belongs. You know, God don't want you to come up with some stuff when it's time to come before Him. He wants you to come with everything you got. Everything. Submit it all into God's hands. Salvation is something that'll work. You know, we hear people rejoicing about the God of their salvation, and we hear some rejoicing about what God has done in their lives. Well, if you want God to do something in your life, and you're here sitting and listening to the different rejoicings and the praising that God has put in the hearts of some of His people, and you're sitting there listening to that, and you're wondering, "Well, I don't have it, and I don't see what's in them." You're just totally out of touch. But love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Love Him with everything you have got. And then you will begin to see what it's like for the salvation of God to work in your heart. You'll begin to perceive how that the goodness of God is just working down in there and blessing your soul and blessing your spirit. True. You'll begin to see what it's like to wake up in the morning and have God within you and then make your heart to rejoice. Yeah. You'll begin to appreciate how God has been there for you in the tough times, in the difficult times, in the trials. The trials of life when things seem like are going against you. You'll begin to see God has got His hand in it all. Yes. We'll begin to be able to rejoice when we are afflicted. Mm-hmm. Be able to rejoice when we suffer need. Mm-hmm. Because everything is committed to God. Yes. And because we can still see God in the midst of needs, in the midst of sufferings, in the hard times and difficult times of life. Yet we can see God because we love Him. You love Him. You make a relationship with Him. You set that relationship up and you keep that relationship fresh. It takes some prayer. It takes some consecration. It takes some giving up and giving all that you've got. We don't bow down at an altar of prayer here, bow our heads before God and say, "Lord, I want You to forgive me for my sins, and I know I'm a pretty good fellow, and Lord, I can see how You've been blessing me in my life." And no, you come down there giving it all up. You come down there with tears and brokenheartedness, and you come down there searching for something that's different from what you've had in the past. If you come looking for something different from God, you come looking for a work in your heart, you'll get something. You will get something that'll be different from what you've had before. The old people used to say, and some of us even here today still say, "Come down here, you pray before the Lord, give it all up like you ought to, you hit the rock. Sparks will fly when you hit the rock." You know, you'll get something down inside that'll be for real. Oh yes, it'll be for real. It'll be something that'll get you going in the right way forevermore, for all of your lifetime. It'll spoil you for anything out there and sin back there behind you. You'll be willing to cut the ties. Cut the ties. Burn the bridges behind you. You know, you burn the bridges when you're not expecting to go back.
That's right.
You don't mind burning them. Because you realize God has given me something here. And if I have to go out here and testify, listen, I ain't going that way no more. I don't dress like that anymore. I ain't wearing like that anymore. Amen. Burn the bridges. Go in there and tell somebody, listen, you know what? I told a big fat lie. And I'm sorry. I'm making a change in my life. Ain't no more lying. No more.
Praise the Lord.
A difference. Because your heart is devoted to God. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that are behind. Sorry about it. I'm not going back there anymore. I don't mind saying I'm sorry. I don't mind making some apologies for correcting some things I've done wrong. I'm broken in heart. I'm broken in my spirit. No more am I standing up and holding myself up as though I'm something. I'm talking about how to hit the rock. Tears roll down. Brokenhearted. Softness. Did you not know a man can cry? A man can cry. And you look down there on him and you see his shoulders heaving. He is something going on in his heart, in his mind. Is something going on there. It's affecting his body. And he's broken up. And tears are just coming down. I want to tell you something. Tears make a difference many times. When you get in prayer and you're so desirous of something from God that tears begin to just roll out. It seems like there's something about a cleansing from the soul that goes out. Something goes. Something happens there. You're so serious. So committed. So desiring something from God. Now, you know, I want to love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart. Everything, Lord. My heart is no longer going to be split and divided. Love God. Love Him without any holdback. Love the Lord thy God with everything you've got. All the inner energies, all every bit of what you might say soul, all of your spirit, everything that's within there. God is a spirit. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We want to worship Him. We want this thing to be real. We have a little song we sing in our song book, number 99. And I want you to listen to these words. Not in the temples made with hands, though beautiful by art. Listen to this. Temples made with hands, beautiful by art. Mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. God made this temple. Glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever. My body, is this the temple that I'm giving to the Lord? I'm getting saved now.
Yes.
And I'm giving Him my body.
Yes.
And I'm wanting Him to dwell in me.
Yes.
I want this to be His temple.
Yes.
This is what I'm expecting. I'm giving Him everything. I ain't holding nothing back. Because I want Him to make a difference in here.
Amen.
Yes.
This man's been struggling along, and he's been going along through this life and hitting some battles, and he's been lonely and troubled, and he's hit times where he seemed like he's depressed and perplexed and doesn't know what's going on, and he's praying for God to help him with the job and help him with money and help him with this, and seemed like it's just things going wrong all over. But he wants something different.
Yes.
He's willing to give up his body.
Yes.
God, come in here. Lord, I want to touch faces with you. I want to form a relationship with you. How wonderful that he would take this poor boat of sin. He'll take it. Take that poor boat of sin. Wash me in his precious blood. And now abide within. Abide in here, in this temple.
Oh, glory to Jesus. So sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be.
Think about it. Think about what I'm saying.
No more I think of God afar, but see thee, Lord, within. Oh, shine.
I don't think of him way over there anymore. When I think of God, when I think of someone that I need to talk to and I need to deal with, I think of him as someone within me. I don't think of someone that I'm running from. But I know that God, I've given my heart to God, and I can go to him. He's close to me. He's a friend of mine. He loves me. Don't think of him as way over there. No more does he have to be considered a God way off over there somewhere. You can see him as right here in the midst of your life. You don't have to be over there somewhere. You don't have to be living on short rations. There he is. God can put in you a well of water. Just spring it up into everlasting life. You don't have to be dwelling in a dry, in a desert place. He can be right in you. He can be right in there, one to comfort. One to fill that place of loneliness. One when you need someone to wrap you up in their arms. Comfort me, Lord. Fall on your knees in your closet place. God is no more a God afar. God is no more an enemy of yours. That spirit of self, carnal spirit, that thing can be put aside. It's enmity, it's hatred between God and you. It can be put aside. And when it's put aside, your spirit can blend with the Spirit of God. It'll blend. It'll be down in there. A real blessing. A well of water just springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
Oh Lord, enshrine within my
breast.
Enshrine my constant joy and peace.
My soul can now forever rest. Secure in thy embrace.
Oh, glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be.
St. John 14th chapter. The 22nd verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Lord, how are you going to show us something and somehow communicate to us in a way that other people can also see it? How is it, Lord, that you can be such a great blessing to us and others not be able to see your moving in your presence also? You know what? God can do that.
Yes.
He can bless your heart and your soul right there, sitting on
bench with somebody right beside you that's getting nothing. It's the condition of the person's heart. It isn't God. It isn't his lack of ability. It's not that he's a respecter of persons and he blesses that one, but he doesn't bless me. No, sir. He'll bless you likewise. If you will yield your heart to him, give him everything you got. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. This is how it happens. My Father will love him. Just think of that. God loving you. The Father in heaven above loving you. And then it says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You want to know how it can be that one can live in a spiritual desert right beside one that seemed like under Niagara Falls? Right side by side. One where God is blessing their day and they have a bright day, a bright outlook in the midst of whatever they're going through, and you're assuming they don't have no trials. They love God. They keep his commandments. They love his word. Their heart is one of just constant devotion to him. He has been enshrined in their breast. They have put him in that special place.
Yes.
They have held nothing back from him.
Yes.
And now he takes up an abode.
Thank the Lord.
Takes up a living quarters.
Yes.
A permanent residence.
Yes.
He takes up a place where they can communicate to him pretty much anytime they want to.
Yes.
The God of the universe can communicate to you as a soul just about whenever you want to go bow your heart before him. He's not a God way over there, far off, in the distance, in the fog, in the midst of clouds and can't see him. He's not that God that was up there on the mountain that you were afraid to look at Moses' face. But now he's the God that Moses went to talk to. And you can go talk to him anytime. He will love us. He doesn't have to be a God way over there. You know, he will come in unto us and love us as his special children.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? When I grew up, I never did appreciate parents that maybe like one child better than the other one. Well, this is a special child. I wasn't really impressed with parents that were like that. But you know what? We have a God, our Father, that every one of us can be special. Every one of us. You can feel special to God. Okay? If you make him special, you make him special in your life. He'll be special to you. And you can be rejoicing and just praising God and thanking God and appreciating God yourself. And you know what? You don't have to be jealous of me. And I don't have to be jealous of you. Because you know what? I can get in there with him, with God, and it's the same with me. You may think you got something special, but I got it too. You got a God that's giving you personal favors, healing, personal special grace and strength. And you got a God that's working for you and helping you out and answering your questions and answering your requests and all of that. I got one too. Same God. We have a God that is so big, so strong. There's so much of him that you don't deplete anything that he's got. You don't deplete it, I don't deplete it. He's got enough to go around everywhere. If you just give him your all. Give him your all, and you'll find that what he has is bountiful beyond what you can conceive of. There's no end to it. It just goes on and on and on.
Amen.
Oh, he deserves nothing but our best. You know, you want to consecrate. You know, sometimes people come. Now I'm going to. I'm speaking on the second definite work of grace. Now let me step a little bit on that. Sanctification. There's a little verse over here in Malachi. You want to read Malachi, first chapter, 14th verse. You may feel, well, my sanctification don't work like somebody else's. Seem like it's not quite the same. But listen, 14th verse says, but cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. If you want real sanctification, if you want the real indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you want to be able to see it and feel it, and you want to be able to show it, you want it to be manifested to you, don't come dragging up to the Lord some old lamb with a broken leg. Don't come bringing to the Lord the one got a broke back. When you get ready to make your consecration to God in sanctification and giving your heart and life to God, give Him everything.
Yeah.
Give Him the best. Give Him the pet. The one that you have raised over there because and you have perfected it, and that lamb that is just absolutely perfect. I mean, he show quality. You know, he could win the best lamb in the county fair. You know, he could win the best lamb in the county fair. Take that one up there and put it on the altar. If you come to the Lord with something halfway, you know that's all you about going to get from God. There are people that come to the Lord for sanctification, and I am convinced that all they get is a blessing. They come down here and they pray, and Lord, I'm giving you, and I'm selling out to you, but God knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your heart. And so when you get up through praying, you feel good. You feel pretty good. But when you get up and you go away, 2 or 3 days later, it don't seem like it's no different from what it was. Old self man is still pretty much on the scene. See? And now, thank the Lord for being saved and sanctified now. I'm sanctified. No, you just saved. You just got a blessing from God. Okay? But this thing, sanctification, will work.
That's right.
It'll make a difference.
Amen.
It'll give you, I believe, a sense of power in your life.
Yes.
It'll give you a sense of power against the devil.
Yes.
The devil. The wiles of the devil.
Yes.
Sanctification will empower you to fight against the devil.
Yes.
Wherever he wants to make an inroad in your life, you'll have something that you'll be ready to say, no, devil.
Amen.
Ain't coming here. You're not making any inroads here. I'm not giving up one step of ground that I've taken.
Amen.
And you might as well head on out and get out of here. Because
yeah.
I'm fighting the devil.
Praise.
When we get sanctified, we are against the devil. We are against his ways, his manifestations. We are against how he wants to work in us. You know. He'll get a hold of your own sanctified way sometimes. And you got it in your mind a certain way, and the devil will just get in there. Oh, this is good. This is right. You ought to do. And it ain't nothing but the devil. Amen. Lord, help us. Sell out to God.
Yeah.
Bring Him everything that you got. The whole thing. The whole business. And you'll have a power with God.
Yeah.
And I believe that this is something every saint has privilege to.
Amen.
You can have privilege to something that will enable you to rebuke the devil.
Amen.
Cast the devil out even.
Yes,
you don't have to be afraid of the devil.
No.
Something in you that is a perfect hatred toward everything that's not like God.
Amen.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can't occupy this place of being firmly and hard and steadfastly against the devil when there's some sympathy in there.
Yes, that's right.
If is any sympathy in you for anything of the devil, I can tell you, you are headed for failure when you come against him.
Right.
When he shows up on the scene, if you are not totally committed to God and got the power of God working in you, God in you, with confidence, you better get out of there. Turn around. Get away from the devil. Don't think you're going to stand there and fight him. Go get somebody that's got something. And they can help you.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
The devil will wool you around and mess you around. And when you get through, I'll rebuke the devil. When you get through, you're so confused. You don't know which way to go. We want to get something from God.
Yeah.
Get something from God. So when you want, if you want a good quality life with God, you want a good quality experience, you got to give him good quality.
Yes.
Amen.
Give him good quality. Very good. Lord, I give to you, just like that song says, I saw a death that I should die.
Yes, Lord.
A death in which my soul did cry.
Yes.
But then he said, but I must yield to heaven's will.
Ways. My heart did kill, but I must yield to heaven's will.
Heaven's will.
Amen.
I'm here paying a good price for this thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't pay a good price, you don't get nothing good. If you come down and you say, well, I got sanctified, it wasn't too hard, you know. I got up from there and it felt real good and went on my way rejoicing. But I went out there and I hit the devil and I didn't know quite what to do. Get down there to where when it comes to you working with God and you dealing with God, get down there to that point where God is dealing with your mind and your heart to where it begins to cost you something. When you begin to feel the price. You're not going to get an experience like Jesus had, see, you know, and you don't have to partake of what he partook of. You don't have to join up with him, take part with him. He was out there, I believe, crying in Golgotha. I believe he was out there on his knees praying and crying.
Amen.
I honestly believe tears were coming down. It said like sweats, like drops of blood. There are times that it's going to cost you like that. I saw a death I had to die. God opened up to your understanding. Your desire before him was so perfect, so much wanting God in your life that he began to open up to you what the price would be. And when you begin to see and conceive of that price, it seemed like your soul begged out for mercy. But then you could see, Lord, if this that I want, if this is what it costs.
Yes, Lord.
Tears roll down. The tears roll down. And you reach out to God. Lord, I want it anyway. I'm giving up. I'm giving up everything. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us. I'm going to turn to St. John, the 21st chapter, and we'll soon be through. The 21st chapter of St. John, the 15th verse. Listen. This is after Jesus was risen from the dead and he was spending some time with his disciples. And particularly he was talking to Simon Peter here. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these fish? After Jesus had died and gone away, Simon came to a point where I guess he just began to look over his life and the last few years and began to think, well, I'm going back to what I know. I'm going to go fishing. Fishing.
Amen.
Fishing was Simon's lifestyle.
Yes.
That was his livelihood.
Yes.
Maybe it was something that he just enjoyed. He could go out there and fish, and it gave him peace and kind of helped settle his mind over things or other things going on. He was going back to something he was familiar and comfortable with. Some of us like to go fishing too, don't we? It's a nice thing, you know. It's a pastime. You might say a recreation. You enjoy it. Just go out there and get a break. Jesus asked the question, Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than your lifestyle? Do you love me more than that thing that's familiar to you? Do you love me more than your possessions, those few little old fish you caught? Those things you have acquired? Do you love me more than your livelihood? Do you love me more than your recreations, those things you're involved with? We ought to put him first, shouldn't we? Jesus was telling him, Feed my lambs. And then he said in the 16th verse, Feed my sheep. And then again, the 17th verse, it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. He was touched in his heart. Because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith to him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. Wherever you want. When you're young, you did a lot of things. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. You know, the Lord has places he wants to take us that is going to demand our deepest love. When we're young, it seems like he doesn't place some things on us. But as we get older, more mature, God wants to take us some places. Deeper places. Places of greater sacrifice. Places that maybe require more consecration. Things God wants to take us into that require greater love. So you might ask yourself that question. Put your own name in the midst of that question. Lovest thou me more than these? Put your name there. Lovest thou me? Put your name there. Does God love you? Do you love God? Yes, God loves you. We have His witness that He loved us even in when we were sinners. He loved us. But what about us? God wants something back. I want to encourage us today to seek the Lord.